Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with David Herrick, the General Manager of Healthcare for Flywire, and Sharon Butler, the EVP of Sales at Flywire as well. David and Sharon, thanks for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Karen, thank you.
So I love talking with you guys at Flywire because I think your business is so interesting. You address a particular facet of the world, the global citizen, who has very specific needs when it comes to moving money outside of their own country to other countries in pursuit of things that they really think are important to fulfill their personal and family ambitions, but are often more difficult to achieve than one might otherwise think. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to dig into education and healthcare, two things that global citizens really find important. And so let's start with the basics. Here in Boston, it's very obvious. School is in session. Boston's come alive. You see lots of people walking the streets. Traffic is bad again, but kids are back in school. What about the education market intrigued you? Because a lot of the kids that are walking around Boston are, in fact, the children of global citizens who've made it a point of sending their children to some of the best schools in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what has intrigued us the most is that the international population has been growing, and significantly so. And the universities really weren't equipped to sort of handle the requirements that the students have and in order to help them through the payment experience. And also, they're paying a lot of money. The university is not inexpensive, and so it's a really big ticket item. And these universities spend an awful lot of money trying to recruit these individuals to come into, you know, study in Boston or Chicago or wherever that is. And then when it comes to the payment experience, after all of this investment's been made up front to recruit, there's sort of that neglect of what that should be like. And we, you know, as you know, the story is our founder had a really bad payment experience. And when we started to kind of look into discussions with universities, we saw that they just weren't equipped to handle the payments. And so it became, you know, pretty obvious to me. I was in education payments. I was focused on domestic payments, and I didn't even see it. And then when I started talking with Iker, and he mentioned his bad payment experience, the light went on, and I thought, how did I miss this myself? And then as soon as I started talking...
How did you miss it? I'm curious, how did you miss it?
Oh, good question. Well, I think that, you know, when you're talking to universities and you're in the finance department, you know, everybody's really focused to, they've developed a business here that is really focused on the domestic student because it's a traditional student, right? And then what's happened is in with the growth and looking to not just generate more revenue, but to become more diversified, they started to look out to the international world. So you have different departments. So your admissions department is focused on that and they're recruiting these students. But there's somewhat of a disconnect with the finance people. And so I was, you know, talking to them on solutions for domestic students. And so nobody was really kind of raising their hand to say we had a lot of challenges here. They looked at the payer as an excellent payer, right? Because they're, you know, paying top dollar, and the collection people are happy because they're getting all their money. But nobody was really looking into what that experience was like. And so that's, and because no one was, as a consultant, no one was telling me there was issues. They basically just were focused on other things.
It's interesting because I think the point that you just made is that there's a payment environment that's built for one thing, and then expanding the business means you haven't always thought about building the payment experience for that new business opportunity. It certainly happened in retail, and it sounds like that's actually the case in education as well.
Exactly. What's happened is they had some processes that they threw together to kind of just accept the money and do the best they could. But as the recruitment expanded, they just couldn't, you know, manage to do a really good job of accepting payments from international students. And I think people just thought, hey, we just have to muscle through this. And no one was really looking at the consumer and what that experience was like. And so when this opportunity was brought to my attention and I started asking a lot of questions, it became very, very clear that there was a problem in a market that was growing and that needed some help.
And I guess a lot of the problem wasn't severe enough until there was enough volume. So you can muscle through it when there's not a ton of volume, but I would imagine that the scale of the international student coming into the U.S. for study is really growing very, 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 very much, very, very, and very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's actually been growing quite a bit over the last, 10 years or so. And initially with some slow growth, and then, different things that happened over here to the economy. You start seeing some of the even tier two schools say, hey, how can we subsidize, our revenues? And then everybody started to look to recruit internationally. So it's become a really, really important part of the business, and help to keep the bills paid for a lot of universities around the globe, around the U.S. and around the
globe. So David, let me shift to you and talk a little bit about healthcare, since that's your perch at Flywire. And I want to ask you whether the environment is similar in that in the healthcare market, payments was built for, basically domestic, which is an insurance-based payment, and then whatever is left over, consumers pay, and not with not a lot of thought to an international player that has a completely different set of payment terms and is not, it is paying the whole bill, not paying through insurance. Is that a similar situation in healthcare?
It is, Karen, and I think that, as the global citizen, is growing, so is the international patient that is seeking, really expert acute care in the U.S. Hospitals, where some of the best care in the world can be found. And it has been, while the care is very advanced, the payment aspect of it is actually quite archaic, because while there, as you mentioned, there are, domestic sort of billing platforms in place, there's nothing really out there that takes care of the international market. And, you see old-fashioned wire transfer, you see some credit card users, you see us, interestingly enough, some cash that literally shows up at a hospital. And so, very much like education, we look at the overall payer experience, and in this case, the patient experience, and we think that the actual payment aspect of it is very, very critical, because you're coming to receive, acute care. That's very stressful to begin with. So having the payment aspect of it, especially something complex as a cross-border payment, should not be, an additional, something that brings more stress to the overall experience. And we found a lot of focus that the hospitals are placing on patient empowerment and really looking at what can make that patient experience better. And we find that, Flywire plays right into that and can be a real, really value-added contribution to what they are trying to do.
So both of you talk about the experience around payment, and I want to dig into that for just a minute, and in the context of who you perceive your client to be. So every platform has multiple stakeholders. They're all customers or clients, but there's often the side of the platform that is generating the revenue or the bulk of the revenue for the platform. Who do you think of as your client, and who needs to be persuaded that the experience needs to be better? The person who's paying or the person who's receiving?
That's a good question. And I think they're both important, but our main focus in education has been the client. And because typically, if a student wants to come to university here, they'll do everything they can to make that happen. But what we talk about is, what you mentioned is the payment experience, and that universities are not really equipped to facilitate a payment that might be happening when they're sleeping, or you know, questions that they may have, and many of them aren't going to speak the language that the parent speaks, and so we feel that the strength in our solution is we can really bring that out when we talk to the universities that serve these students. We both have a common interest in the consumer. That's the main thing. What we can do is help extend their campus and give their students that they, you know, invested a lot of money to recruit and want on campus, and give them a payment experience that feels familiar, you know, localized, that they can talk to someone when they pay. And so our primary relationship and all the investment we make in our teams that are out there is to work with the client, because it, particularly in higher ed, it's helping to implement a payment solution will help the school create more efficiencies and you know, get demonstrate to the students that they're recruiting that they care. So that's our primary contact on our side of Davis.
Yeah, no, I think, Karen, it's very much the same on the healthcare side. You know, I often talk to our healthcare clients and say, look, you know, if this is a product or solution that you've truly bought into, then, you know, you want to encourage your patients to pay their healthcare bills through Flywire. And it's going to benefit you, and it'll return, you know, benefit them as well. So, you know, we do spend, you know, most of our focus with the hospitals, but ensuring that we've got a really clean, simple, transparent payment solution for the patient or the payer is very, very important, because this only really works if both, you know, receiver and payer or hospital and patient both come away feeling good about it.
Got it. Now, how is the payments experience that you, and I think you make a good point that you and the institution share a common goal, and that's making the experience better for the consumer. What's the same about the experience that crosses healthcare and education, and what things are different? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think I can comment. What is the same? I think that we found things that are similar is that, you know, you're looking to help an organization that has no efficiency in a process. That's the first thing, which you created.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so all of the challenges that we identified that resonate in education resonate in healthcare as well. They're the same. There's no internal process for reconciling payments. There's really no extension of the business to support an international consumer. There's just all of that was the same. I think the difference, and you can comment on this too, David, is that operationally things are different, right? That when students are coming in, they're all coming in together. There's a bill that goes out to a whole group of people, and that we're kind of facilitating, you know, a peak.
Right.
That happens a couple times a year, and that's triggered usually between July and August. And in your case, it's more sort of as the needs, on a needs basis, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that, you know, certainly on the education side, you know, you see, I think, origin markets where there is significant traffic. Generally on the healthcare side, you do find that to some extent, but it is, I think, probably more widely scattered around the world. And I think that, as Sharon mentioned, I think just the nature of healthcare can be a little bit more complex. You know, U.S. hospitals and healthcare providers are going through enormous change across the board. There's a lot of focus around, you know, private healthcare information and data and security. And so while there are a lot of stuff that is very similar, there are also, I think, you know, when you really dig into the industries per se, there are some, you know, pretty strong differences in how you approach it and how you play it and what sort of, you know, needs and solutions you can provide.
I'm curious when you talk to the institutions. I mean, you both did a good job of talking about the differences and the similarities. But how do the institutions themselves talk about their problems when they are, you know, opening up to you and saying, "Boy, David, this causes me sleepless nights. Sharon, this causes me sleepless nights." How do they characterize the problem?
You know, I think in healthcare, it's all very much focused on, look, there's generally a really serious situation in which this international patient is seeking out care, and therefore we need to act fast. We need to be, you know, very responsive, very thoughtful, and do everything that we can to make that patient feel welcome. You know, different culture, different country, a whole different language. You know, Karen mentioned earlier, because we provide a real localized approach to the payment aspect, and because we can do that quite seamlessly, and we know exactly where those funds are at any point in time, we're able to add some real assurances to the hospital and the patient that, you know, everything is going to be fine in terms of you receiving that care, because most large U.S. hospitals require funds up front before the patient arrives, and so therefore getting those funds there in a timely manner to the exact amount that was billed is really, really important. And so that would be, you know, probably the one point that I would say. But Sharon, you might...
Yeah, in education, I find that different stakeholders have things that are more important to them. And I would even say that in some, in education, there are some things that are more important than others. For instance, I might be, you know, talking to a university that cares very, very much about creating efficiencies for themselves and saving money, and all of that's really, really important. And okay, that's great if there's a better payment experience. And then there's others that really do care about the, you know, their consumer, their student, and having a great experience paying the bill. I mean, it would make sense that something so expensive would make it easy as possible to pay. The international student organization of a university cares very, very much about the student, and so does the admissions group. And so, when, you know, what's important to them is really the payment experience. How are we going to make this easy? How are we going to help them feel good about making the payment and connecting? And what resources are you going to provide to do that? So they're really in tune with that. And maybe on the business and finance side, it's more about the efficiencies and reconciliation and bottom line.
And I think both in education and healthcare, you know, both of these two different verticals are seeking growth. As Sharon said earlier, you know, the universities are looking for the international student who will generally pay in full and you know, really help them from a financial perspective. That's the same with healthcare. You know, these global citizens, they're coming in and they're paying the full bill. And so, you know, the hospitals out there make, you know, they're very clear about the fact that they want to grow their international business. You know, the U.S. domestic business from a healthcare perspective is complicated. There are many parties involved. You know, from the insurance aspect, just to, you know, state by state. So, you know, getting an international patient that flies above all of that is a really nice revenue source. And I think that you'd find the same from an educational perspective. And this is a tool that will allow them, I think, to grow their businesses.
You know, what's interesting in listening to both of you talk about this is, you know, we know that in a digital world, the payments experience is so important to the consumer converting to a satisfied customer and that business making a sale. But in this situation, it's really critical to the experience that the student or the patient has at an institution where, you know, it's vital that the payment process be done correctly for different reasons, of course, but the payments experience drives probably in many ways the first point of contact with that institution before they've stepped foot in class. This is their view or their perception of how they will be treated, and it obviously creates a lot of pressure on the institution to deliver that well. It sounds like you've created an opportunity for them to put their best foot forward, and that's awesome.
Thank you. we're working hard at it every day.
Well, it's good stuff. It's interesting how, you know, this niche is so specialized, but also one that's vitally important to the future of these organizations for the reasons that you pointed out. They pay full fare, and therefore the experience needs to support that. David and Sharon, thanks so much for joining me today. It was a great conversation.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.